I'm going to ask you to multitask this morning as the baskets are going forward. You also have a card in front of you with people that are punching each other, but they're not. They're very bad at punching each other, I guess. They're missing each other. Our sermon series is called Throwing Shade. And on the back there is our main scripture for this series. And I'd love for you to pick it up, and we're just going to read this scripture together. It's a scripture I would love for you to remember. If you remember a scripture through September, if you do scripture memory, this is a scripture we'd love to remember together. I think it's up on the screen as well. Do we have it up on the screen as well? Go ahead. There you go. Can we say the scripture together? You got your card out, or you can read it up online. Does anybody need a card? We got cards? Okay, let's read it together. This is Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let's read it one more time. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. This Throwing Shade sermon series is all about what it means to welcome Jesus into those places where we know there are verbal punches being thrown, whether it's on social media, in family relationships, in places of gossip, in the workplace, all kinds of places where we know that we recognize humanity at its worst self when it comes to verbal abuse. Throwing shade is what happens. We throw shade on one another. We receive shade. So what does it mean to welcome Jesus into those places? Well, this morning, I am so excited to have a friend with me, Tommy Hayes. Hey, Tommy, would you come up? You get the higher stool this morning. I'm elevating you here this morning by giving you a higher stool, and this is your mic right here.
You always have to tell people I'm the world's shortest Texan. So.
The shortest Texan. But you've got boots. See, I don't have boots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you need them when you're shorter.
Excellent. This morning, I wanted to invite my friend Tommy because Tommy has invested years and years since seminary, right?
Yeah.
In what it means to give people opportunities to receive inner healing prayer. Inner healing prayer comes in a lot of different forms, and we'll get to that in just a second. But today, I think that there are some people that are going to receive healing from places where they have been thrown verbal shade. Before we get that, I want to look at a scripture. If there's anything that I want you to remember today, it is that the power of life and death are in the tongue. And our words are so powerful that they can be twisted towards death or empowered to give life. If you remember anything from today, because we've lost you after this moment, actually. But this is what I would love for you to remember. And the scripture that we're engaging today, I want to read. This is James chapter 3, verse 1. It should be up on the screen for you as well. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach should be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. I love that part of the verse the most. Raise your hand if you like that part. You say, you make many mistakes. Okay, so now you're included in this verse, right? So at first he says, not many of you should teach, and we all make many mistakes. All right, now we're all involved. He's welcoming us in. For we could control, if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. And could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Have you ever thought of your tongue being set on fire by hell itself? I know some of your friends that you have thrown shade at could tell you that one day your tongue was like fire set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so, blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. Boy, y'all are dangerous. Have you ever heard this word blessing and cursing? I mean, when you think of cursing, you might think of swearing. When you say blessing, you might think of sitting down at the dinner table and saying a blessing before dinner. I wonder, some of us don't think about that word very much. But we are capable of both blessing and cursing. And so as I introduce my friend Tommy Hayes, I also want to introduce Rapha God Ministries, which I have been a beneficiary of. What's that? And Jan wants you to know Jan too. There may be others in the room as well that have been a beneficiary of Rapha God Ministries. Tommy, would you tell us what Rapha God's all about?
Yeah, John. The name of our ministry comes from that passage in Exodus where Moses is leading the people through the desert, and they come to the waters there that are bitter. And God tells Moses to cast the wood into the waters, and the bitter waters become sweet. And that's where God reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. And so our ministry is a place where we help people encounter God to come heal them. We call it inner healing, healing from the inside out, where he loves to take the bitter waters and make them sweet and take our brokenness and make us whole.
What a reflection on this passage today. I mean, God's promise of being Rapha God that can turn. Some of you are feeling hopeless this morning, like, oh, I know my mouth is sour. I know that what flows out of me is not the best. I want you to hear this morning this promise of what God can do. This is, I mean, it comes out in the name of the organization that Tommy's ahead of here, but serves as head minister. I don't know what you're exactly, I forget your title right now, but it's so critical. I mean, in this day and age, people are wicked with their mouths. The best of us. Some of us have grown up in households where we were told horrible things. And even if you were told great things, the bad things took over in life. And so that's the stuff that you remember. And so I wonder, Tommy, as we're thinking about blessing and cursing and how James talks to us about the seriousness that the fires of hell are on the tongue, why is Rapha God so important to you when it comes to blessing and cursing?
Well, really, we all have dealt with that in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, I experienced that personally. We all have experienced that in our lives. I mean, you know, who here has a past? I see those hands. You know, we all grow up in a place where God created us to love each other, encourage one another, build one another up. That's supposed to begin in your mother's womb, really, and then at birth and growing up. But that same principle that God uses, that he wants to build us up, encourage us through each other, the enemy of our souls also wants to influence our minds and tempt us into sin, where we actually use those same power of words to tear one another down, destroy each other, curse each other. You know, you're stupid, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, those kind of things. And so we're wounded, we're hurt. And our ministry really has come alongside people to let God bring up those places where they're stuck or they're wounded or hurt. They're not living into the fullness of all God has for them. So having a safe place to speak it out and let it go, release it to God, and then let God replace it with his words of blessing and honor and courage and peace. And you know, God can do that personally. You know, we don't have to go somewhere or have somebody pray with us for that. God wants to do that all the time. But at the same time, sometimes it's good to have a safe place where you can speak things out loud in a confidential environment. Because there's something about, once again, using words, speaking the words out loud has a way of bringing it out of the darkness into the light so you can let it go.
Those places of vulnerability are absolutely critical. For me, I know as a pastor, and some sad news, and you may have seen on Facebook, there was a pastor that had committed suicide. And so many people, pastors, priests, psychologists, dealing with really hard things in their heart. Psychological issues, depression, just darkness that we often feel like we've just got to keep in. I remember, this is a simple thing, it's a light thing, but When I was a freshman in high school and then a senior, I had the same teacher. And he said, Aureli, a tiger never changes his stripes, nor a leopard his spots, and you're never going to change. And he was talking about my inability to do good work. And he just told me, you're never going to change. You're always going to be a screw up. And so that's just living in the background of my life as I'm going to college. It's living in the background of my life as I'm meeting my wife for the first time. It's living in the background of my life. Just the small thing, that naming, which, Tommy, is that a curse? Is that what we would call that?
Yeah, I think words spoken are curses, you know, words that tear you down, that destroy you. It's less than the Father's heart. Related to curses, in our kind of ministry, we also have the concept of inner vows. On the inside, inner vow, something you decide inside, it's kind of like you're coming into agreement with the cursing words. Like, well, I am, you know, whatever you said.
Right.
You know, I am less than, and I am a mess up, and I won't, you know. You start to agree with those words, and then it becomes your reality. You know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said, be unto you according to your faith. For the things we believe about ourselves, or we believe that's how God sees us, other people's, that becomes our reality.
It becomes the story we tell ourselves.
Yeah.
How interesting that we don't even know sometimes the stories that we tell ourselves when we get into conversations with one another. And we'll talk more about this as the series goes on, but then replacing it with blessing.
Yeah.
Seeing a life that is not defined by the curse, but it's defined by the blessing, can become a completely different life.
Huge.
I mean, I remember coming to Rapha God and actually addressing this issue. Again, just it was something that the Lord had revealed. I mean, by the way, what a beautiful place to come in and let's, like our prayer teams do on Sunday mornings, let's just see what God's doing. Listening to the Father, listening to Holy Spirit, walking through this place of what does God want to bring to the surface this morning? And then bringing up this thing, which I thought is not a big deal. It's in high school. Who cares? But the Lord wanting to use it to speak blessing over my life. And so then there was a moment where God said, no, this isn't you. What I say about you is, and I can't remember what it was, but
that's why we write those down.
That's right. I've got it written down. I really do, because there's somebody that writes it down for you as God's revealing it and bring it to the service. So I wonder if you'd be willing to just share what it's meant for you to have been walking through a cursing and blessing and seeing a sweetness of God's transformation in your own life.
They didn't talk about this kind of ministry in the churches where I grew up. I kind of grew up in Methodist churches and everything, and I had been a trial lawyer in Texas, and really enjoyed that. I always wanted to be a lawyer. You know, always, you know, people would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? A trial lawyer. Yeah, I watched too many Perry Mason shows, I think. And so I was doing it. I was living into that, you know, full time for about 7 years or so. And we just bought a big brand new house and everything. And then it's kind of a long story, but God started speaking to me about calling me into ministry. And I thought, that's crazy. But it kept coming to me like Sunday after Sunday in church. And one day I said, okay, Lord, one day when I retire from being a lawyer and make a lot more money, well, then I will be your evangelist. I'll go to the nations and preach the gospel, you know, and make something out of my life. And but it wouldn't let go. It just kept coming to me and stronger and stronger. And then these different experiences were happening. And finally I said, okay, I surrender, Lord. I'm going to yield this. And so actually in the Methodist church, you go to seminary and cemetery, some would call it, you know, like 3 years of head knowledge and all that, but also experiencing God. So went there. But after I was there for a year, my wife started talking about divorce. And I thought, oh my goodness, we can't get divorced. And I know God wouldn't call me to ministry if that was going to make us get divorced. So maybe I'm making a big mistake. And I really like being a lawyer anyway. Maybe I just need to go be more outspoken about my faith. And but so we had counseling, and we talked to the professors there at seminary, and ultimately she said, really, it's not you going into ministry. It's just bringing to the surface the fact that I never really did love you.
Ugh.
And so that was devastating, and we had kids, and here we're on this journey and radically changing our life, as you can imagine. And so through that process, about that time, somebody gave me a book by Dr. David Siemens called Healing for Damaged Emotions. And I'm reading this book, and it's about how we have these words that have been spoken and things that have been done, and it's like bringing up all the feelings of failure, this really important thing in my life, and the shame, the embarrassment, and all the confusion, like, can I even be a minister now, and should I go back to being a lawyer? And so all that's kind of coming up, and this book is just kind of giving you permission to be honest about it. Because, you know, we tend to bury things. We put up the wall around things, try to press on and get through. And that's always been my way. You know, I was pressing through, going on.
Bootstrapping.
Yeah. But it kind of gives you permission to speak it out to God, to be honest with God. God, I'm so mad. I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry. And how could you? And I thought you called me and all those kind of things. And then it turns out Dr. Seaman's son, Steve Seaman, is one of our professors at the seminary. And he would meet with students one-on-one for what he called inner healing and deliverance, being set free from spiritual oppressions, you know, the spiritual battle in our minds. So I received ministry from Dr. Seaman to let go of the shame and let go of the hurt and the bitterness and confusion and forgiveness and things that go with that. And so God started to heal me and free me. And some things are a breakthrough in a moment. Most things are kind of little by little, step by step. But God had me on the journey. And through that process, next thing I know, people start to open up to me. You know, there's something about you're a little less judgmental when you've been through the stuff, you know, and people sense that. They sense, you know, you're not so religious, you're not so prideful, you know, you've been through some stuff too. And so students around campus would kind of start to open up to me, and my story got out. And then Dr. Seaman kind of took me under his wing to mentor me. And by the time I'd gone through seminary, you're supposed to report back to the bishop and take some church somewhere. And I said, really, I feel like I am called to this kind of ministry, to come alongside people. So they gave me permission, you know, they said, you'll be like a missionary. You'll raise all your own money. We're not going to give you a penny, you know. But so I started this ministry that I've been doing now for over 20 years. And it's really just come alongside people. You know, here's Jesus, give it to him. Give him the words that have been spoken over you. Give him those vows you've made down in your heart. Give him your pain, your shame, your unforgiveness, your bitterness. Give that over to him and listen for him to speak the truth back into your heart, to reveal to you who you are. So it's been life-changing for me, and that's my passion now, to come alongside other people, let God change their lives.
I want to sit with the story for just a second, because I know that there are some of you that have been divorced. I know that some of you are kids of divorce. And we often, I think, through those seasons, just try to grab ourselves by our bootstraps and just try to punch the wall through. Just, I'm going to keep going. I need to stay strong. I need to stay strong. I need to stay strong. And I'm thinking of this, like, what, you know, blessing and curse, this power in the tongue, set on fire by hell itself, this place of rejection that said, I never really loved you. I know there are plenty of people in here that have heard those words. Whether maybe it was your parents that told you, I never really loved you. And we don't take the chance to take them seriously. And Jesus says, no, I want you to come with all that stuff. I want you to know I'm so safe. And I'm so powerful that whatever was said over you that has deemed your fate as poor or negative or destructive, I'm powerful enough to replace it. I'm powerful enough to be able to take it off your shoulders. In fact, I died for it. We often think that sin is one of those places where it's something we've committed. We stole candy from the store or something like that. So Jesus, forgive me of my sins, feels like this place of just trying to give up where we feel guilty. But when he takes the sin to the cross, he takes other people's sins too when we give them to him. It's not just our verbal shade that we give up, which we need to. Because if we're honest with ourselves, there's some of us that have been that person that said, I never really loved you. You're not worthy of love. We've been that person. So we need to put that on the cross as well. We need to believe that Jesus is strong enough, big enough to receive that stuff, that he died for it, can forgive it and replace it with blessing.
Yeah, they replace it with the blessing part. You know, the thing about curses or the hurts, the wounds, things that happen to us, even when you're in the journey of healing, it kind of has a way of tying into other things in your life. It's almost like when you have a wound or you have a hurt or you feel rejected. It's almost like in the spiritual realm, there's like a spirit that's drawing rejection to you, drawing you to feel like a misfit or you don't fit in. I was praying with a lady just this week. And I thought at the end of the story of the ministry session, I thought, now that's a good story for John's ministry at Blessed Church. So I got her permission to share this. But you know, in our ministry, we ask God to reveal, then remove and replace. So the reveal is where you're waiting in silence. You're letting God bring up something. They're kind of waiting on God. He brings a word or a picture, a feeling. So we're waiting. And what was coming up to this lady, and she said, that old feeling of not fitting in is coming up. I feel like no matter where I am, even if people love me, even at my own church, you know, I don't feel like I fit in. I feel on the outside many times. I try to connect, but there's always this gnawing feeling like I don't belong. So we go into prayer. And so I lead her in prayer, say, Jesus, come into that place where that entered in. So we wait in the silence, and sometimes God brings a memory or a picture or the color purple, whatever it is, you know. God speaks to us in millions of different kind of ways, but I encourage people not to filter it in their brain. Just speak it out. Well, Lord, what's coming up is, and she said, I have a picture of me laying on my back. So now I'm thinking, oh, okay, is she hurt, you know, or abused, you know, but I'm kind of giving room. We don't impose our images. Yeah. We're letting God be the one bringing it up. So as we kind of went through it, she's speaking out to God. She pictures herself like a baby laying on her back and these voices over her speaking things like, you know, she doesn't belong here. Doesn't she know? And we kind of keep waiting on the Lord. And God actually brought a face to her mind as she went in. It was a relative of hers. And then clarity comes. She's a baby. And she was adopted, you know, brought home from the hospital and out of a illegitimate marriage, you know, in the eyes of the people. And so God was surfacing that she came into this world. When she was conceived, she felt she was wrong. She was a mistake. And then here are these people are. They're thinking, well, she's a baby. She can't hear. We can just talk, say whatever words we want to around her. But those words they were speaking like, well, she doesn't belong here. She's not one of us. She'll never fit in. That's going into her spirit as she's laying there as a baby. Not her spirit, but also her mind, her brain, her heart. I mean, it affects spirit, soul, and body. And God was bringing that up to the surface, not so she could blame and condemn and shame her aunt and the people, but so she could release them, forgive them, but also renounce, come out of agreement with the words that have been spoken into her heart and her body that she doesn't belong, to reject that, and then wait upon the Lord to replace it. So she's waiting, well, Father, what do you have to say? And she's waiting, and the Lord says, I chose the moment to conceive you. You know, your parents made choices, and their choices were some wrong choices, but I chose to speak into existence your spirit when you were conceived. I want you. And he gives her a picture, and he gives her a feeling of wanting acceptance. And that was a picture of God revealing an area where she struggled, replacing it as she was forgiving and rejecting the lies, and then God replacing it with the truth. And then, and it's amazing how that two-hour prayer session ended with her in great joy. And, you know, we wound up her praying for us, you know, in the session, because she was just bringing joyfulness and security and confidence. And God wants to do that for all of us. Take those places where we're stuck, let it go, and let him replace it with something so much better.
I wonder, I think we should do that now.
Okay.
When Tommy and I were talking about this service, we thought, well, what it would mean, you know, where is the Holy Spirit leading us for y'all? Obviously, we're not going to go into two-hour sessions with y'all and engage this process. But there is something that I feel like the Lord wants to do. And so I've asked Tommy to lead us in just 10 minutes of what it might mean for the Lord to heal us in this way. There's a significance. Again, the Lord has given us the power in the tongue, both to bless and to curse. And he's given us power to participate with him in renouncing the curses of our lives and receiving those blessings by being able to speak them out. So this is a moment of power in our lives. It's a moment of significance. And my hope and prayer is that as I pray for blessing in just a bit after our time of ministry, that you would go out inspired and empowered to be those people of blessing. But in order to be authentically people of blessing, we need to receive that from the Lord. So, Tommy, would you lead us?
Thanks, John. Should everybody just kind of be settled? You know, we'll take a little bit of time with this, okay? And God will be speaking to each one of us differently, bringing up very specific situations. You may bring up one particular thing. And if you will, try not to control this in your mind. Trust that God's in this, and he knows where we are and how much time we have and how deep to go. But let's just trust him that he will touch us today. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time this morning. None of us are here by accident. None of us are here by mistake. You brought every one of us here together this morning. And you're the one that put this message on John's heart and allowed me to come be part of this today. So we thank you for that, God. And Lord, we pray now with you in charge, you're in control. We forbid the enemy to bring up anything, but Lord, you bring up what you desire. Pray, Lord, you just push back any spiritual darkness from our minds, our hearts. Thank you that your heavens are open here in this place. And Lord, as we're looking to you, we ask you to be the one now to reveal. That Lord, you would reveal some place where we've been stuck in a way, stuck in our minds, stuck in our hearts from words that have been spoken into our lives, that have taken root, that have been like seeds that have gone deep down and they're bringing up. They're bringing up a harvest. They're influencing our lives, maybe in our relationship with you or our relationships with others or how we see ourselves. Just pray you'd come, Holy Spirit of God. Would you bring up? Would you reveal for each one of us a word, a phrase, something that was spoken over us, spoken into us at a moment in our lives? Let's just wait upon the Lord a moment. For each one of us, whatever that is, that memory, that moment, those words, what you're bringing up, we're just letting it come up. We're trying not to control it in our own minds, our own hearts. We're letting you bring that up, Lord. You're not bringing this up to shame us or condemn us or judge us. You're not bringing this up to traumatize us or re-traumatize us. You're bringing this up, Lord, so we can let it go. So I just pray that now, Lord Jesus, would you come into every one of those moments, every age, every moment, every memory that you're bringing up personally for each one. As you come into that, God, you're connecting memories with events, with emotions. As you're bringing that up, we choose to release that to you. I just join with every person right now that's making that choice in their heart. If that was someone that spoke words over them, like when my ex-wife spoke those words to me, or my father spoke words into my heart over my life, I'm releasing that to you, just in your heart. You don't have to even say it out loud. Say, Lord, I release that to you. I release that person to you. I choose to give that person that hurt me a gift they don't deserve, just like you give me a gift I don't deserve, the gift of forgiveness and mercy and letting this go. I release that person to you, God. I cancel their debts, where even if they never come and say they're wrong, I still release them to you. Even if they never apologize, I still release them to you. Even if they never come and make it right or ask me for their forgiveness today from that place where they hurt me and spoke those words over me, I release them to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just agree with every person right now that's releasing or forgiving or letting that one go. Thank you now, Lord. There's any ties or entanglements, they're broken, they're released. Those words have no power over us anymore. That person is no longer entangled with us. We pray a releasing and a breaking and letting go now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And now we just speak to the words, those words that came into our hearts, those words that came into our minds. We call out those words. We call out the poison of those words now. Come out, come off, loose and free, every one of us. That does not define us. We just declare, Father, where everyone, where those words are coming up, those words shall no longer define you. I believe I hear that in my heart right now, that you are saying, Father, my sons and my daughters, those words shall not define you. Those words are not who you are. I say who you are, and you are my child, my beloved child. I am for you. And I turn those words around. I turn them around, and I give you my word. I believe right now we should just listen for His specific word for each one of us. Just listen a moment. We forbid the enemy to block this or hinder this in any way. Father God, what is your word? Just ask Him that in your heart. You don't even have to say it out loud. Father, what is your word for me? Just listen. As that word comes to your heart or a picture to your mind, or you begin to see yourself with the eyes of heaven or the eyes of God in a way you weren't seeing yourself before, you begin to feel or sense His presence in this moment, know that is your Father speaking His words to your heart, letting you know you are secure and confident in Him. This is your true identity. This is who you are. And Father, I just praise you for that. I praise you for the words that you're speaking to our heart and the pictures, the images, the senses of your presence that you have for each one of us right now. And Lord, as you're aligning that, we just pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Bring a deep peace, bring a freedom, even a joy, even this return to us, the joy of our salvation, Lord. Like we were worshiping earlier this morning, create in me, Lord, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, Lord. Let there be a new joy, a new freedom, a new peace, a going forward in a different place than we were when we came here today. Lord, we bless that. We seal that in place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. That may not be the only place where God is speaking to you this morning. In fact, we had a prayer team that was praying for you this morning for some other specific things. And those are up on the screen, or that can be up on the screen in just a minute. We have prayer teams available for you that are going to be in this front corner to pray for any emotional, physical, or spiritual need you have this morning. If you don't feel like God called your number this morning, you may just want to come for blessing. God's presence, like a flowing river. God wants you to play in His Spirit. Someone with stomach pain, issue with your aorta, frustration with God. All these places could be places that just speak directly to your heart. They're places of risk that our team takes. Again, they filter what they're hearing, and they don't, because they want to just see maybe God, a pair is somebody, you know, something important to you. And so we just take a risk, and we trust for you to take that with a grain of salt as well. I just want to wait for just one more moment and just... Let me bless you, if you would stand with me as you have the ability. And if you would receive this blessing, whatever has gone on this morning, maybe the scripture spoke to you, maybe you're feeling guilty about how you talk to your kids or whatever. I believe that the Lord wants to set you free this morning, like Tommy said at the end of the prayer, to be filled with the Holy Spirit towards God's good, to bless, empowered to bless, empowered to receive the blessing from God and then also to bless. And so would you receive in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to bless, that the water in your life, just like the scripture said, would turn from sour to sweet, that you would go out not with tongues on fire from hell, but tongues empowered to bless. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tommy said, I said, Tommy, what's your fee for coming? He said, nothing. I don't have a fee. He said, but is there any, would you like to come golfing? So at the end of the month, there are some of you that love an excuse to golf. You won't golf unless it's for a good cause. And so I'd encourage you, we'll have an email out this week with the registration for that, but there is a golf outing. Our leaders can't go because we're on a leadership retreat, so you won't see us there. But I want all of you who love to golf to be able to go to this golf outing and help support Rapha God Ministries. But there's an opportunity to receive prayer this morning. There's one more prayer I feel like we need to pray this morning, and that's for those of you who have not yet received Jesus. And so would we be able to pray this prayer together? And then if you are praying this prayer for the first time, I feel like God said there's going to be one person here at church this morning that has not yet accepted me fully. Would we pray this prayer together? All of us together. And if you're that one person, would you come to a prayer team this morning and just say, that was me. That was me, and I need some next steps because I know I need to follow Jesus, and I haven't taken him up on that offer before. So can we pray together? Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. And just take a minute. God, we know all that stuff that's in the way. We just now say all together, please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can clap. It's good. It's all right. I encourage you to go to the Mission Vineyard website to look at a small group. Go visit a small group this week, and we'll see you next week for another Throwing Shade sermon, and then on the 29th for baptisms and Ciclovia. Have a great week.